Thank you for downloading this podcast from the Echo e-learning page. Don't forget that Echo membership would provide you with unlimited access to a whole range of other educational courses, as well as the entire content of the Echo e-library. Please check this out at www.echo-ibd.eu.
Hello, welcome to Echo Educational Podcast. My name's Hannah Gordon. I work in Barts Health NHS Trust in London, and I'm here with Marco Gasparetto, a paediatric gastroenterologist who also works at Barts in the London, and we will be recording an educational podcast on biomarkers in inflammatory bowel disease. Marco knows a lot about this area. I know a little about this area, so I'm going to start with some questions and start by asking Marco for some definitions. So Marco, just to kick off, can you tell us what is a biomarker and why are they useful?
Hi everyone, and thank you very much, Hannah. It is indeed a great opportunity to have an Echo podcast focused on biomarkers in IBD. It's such a relevant and current topic that very much projects into the future. So starting from the definition of a biomarker, in the context of IBD, it is a parameter or a tool that enables to identify patients with IBD who are at highest risk for rapid progression from uncomplicated to complicated phenotypes. So it allows to risk stratify these patients and identify bespoke treatments based on specific risk categories, which of course will have a major impact on clinical care. We know well that not all of our patients are alike. We see patients with indolent mild disease course, that's probably just a few in pediatrics, and other patients with a more complicated and severe course, that's definitely the majority of the children we look after. So having a biomarker will allow us to use less potent treatments for those patients with a milder disease course and more aggressive treatments earlier for patients with severe disease. Moreover, a reliable biomarker is also a prerequisite for the treat-to-target approach or model that is aiming for deep remission and early resolution of inflammation to improve treatment outcomes. And well, a reliable biomarker will allow us to measure and monitor the achievement of deep remission. A biomarker might also help identify mechanisms of relapse in patients with IBD. We are aware of the unknown around IBD etiology, and a new biomarker could really unlock or uncover pathways that have remained unexplored so far. So, Hannah, we often hear the terms predictive and prognostic biomarkers. Could I ask you to take a moment to talk us through the difference between the two?
So the way I think about it, a predictive biomarker is one that is designed to predict a specific event. For example, it might be to predict an imminent disease flare, or it might predict response to a specific treatment or lack of response to a treatment. And I think the area of treatment response is becoming increasingly important when we have an increasing number of advanced therapies and we're not quite clear yet which therapy is going to be best for which patient. So coming to think more about prognostic biomarkers, these are a bit more about predicting future disease trajectory. For example, whether a patient is likely to experience highly active or complicated disease phenotypes, or whether they're going to run a more indolent disease course. So actually, Marco, I've got a question back for you. It's on predictive biomarkers. So in clinical practice, we're already using CRP and fecal calprotectin to predict disease flares when monitoring our asymptomatic patients. Do you count these as predictive biomarkers? So are we actually using biomarkers in clinical practice already?
Excellent question. I mean, over the past years, various prognostic markers have been investigated and considered for clinical use. But I must be realistic in saying that at present, we haven't got such a tool as a reliable biomarker that can be easily utilized in clinical practice for IBD. There have been excellent studies that have looked into clinical and biochemical prognostic factors, and we are all well familiar with associations like perianal disease, extensive GI involvement, requirement for steroids shortly after diagnosis, and others to be linked with poor disease outcomes in Crohn's, whereas extensive colitis, concomitant extra-intestinal manifestations, or associated liver disease will link with worse outcomes in ulcerative colitis. However, here we're talking more about associations than actual predictors, and these clinical parameters haven't really revealed to be powerful enough to lead to bespoke treatments based on risk stratification. On a similar note, monitoring inflammatory markers like CRP or fecal calprotectin can be really helpful to identify chronic active disease that might lead to worse outcomes. However, we are again talking about associations rather than actual prediction. So researchers subsequently moved to genetics, transcriptomics, metabolomics, microbiota, proteomics. So they've been exploring different layers in order to search for meaningful signals that would be able to re-stratify these patients to predict the disease course and also to predict response to specific treatments.
Okay, so coming back to the fecal calprotectin point, what you're saying is that we're actually just measuring subclinical disease activity before a clinically symptomatic flare, as opposed to actually predicting the flare before it started.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
So do you think we're actually going to have any truly predictive biomarkers over the next few years?
Well, that's the hope, and I'm quite positive about it. For example, in the area of predictive biomarkers, huge progress has been achieved recently. And I could mention the studies on oncostatin M that drives intestinal inflammation, and its level measured on both biopsies and blood samples predicts poor response to anti-TNF treatments in patients with IBD, as well as poor response to vedolizumab, according to more recent studies. And other examples are upregulation of the CCL7, CCR2 pathway and downregulation of TREM1, correlating with non-response to anti-TNF-alpha. Mm-hmm. Moreover, other studies have identified specific changes in the microbiota to correlate with clinical response to vedolizumab.
I remember a couple of years ago reading Bram Vershtok's publication on using transcriptomics data from endoscopy biopsies to also identify predictors of response to vedolizumab. And I think he was able to make up a 4-gene signature that was able to predict response to vedolizumab with about 90% accuracy in the revalidation cohorts. And also this was specific to vedolizumab and didn't have an association with anti-TNF therapy. So that seemed quite promising in terms of a vedolizumab-specific yes. biomarker. I think at Royal London, we're about to start recruiting for the IBD response study. And this study is sort of using a multi-omics approach to hopefully look for future factors predictive of treatment response for all of our advanced therapies, anti-TNFs, vedolizumab, ustekinumab, and the JAK inhibitors. And this is an ambitious but seems feasible project that's recruiting 1,300 patients alongside their regular clinical care, collecting pre- and post-treatment blood, stool, and when possible, biopsies. And I think they're hoping to use multi-omics approach with longitudinal data, looking at the microbiome, the metagenome, and metabolomics in a subset of patients to hopefully get better predictors of each of the advanced therapies alongside dietary and other information.
Yes.
So I think hopefully from that we can look forward to some more specific signatures for the different treatments.
It's a great project indeed.
I wonder whether we should actually start thinking about building this into our drug trials, whether we should have some sort of pre- and post-multiomics assessment in our clinical trials, although I guess that it would be very, very expensive to fund that for drugs that might not even work.
Exactly. It would be ideal and very helpful, but with possible challenges.
Mm-hmm.
So far, we have mentioned predictive biomarkers. Should we talk some more about prognostic biomarkers as well? Can we really predict which ones of our patients are going to develop complex disease?
I think that the first prognostic biomarker that's been identified in IBD is the CD8 T-cell transcriptomic signature that is able to distinguish between newly diagnosed patients who will go on to have an aggressive disease course and those who will have a more quiescent disease course. I think they were originally called flarers and fizzlers. And this signature has been found to predict disease course in both Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. And over the years, the techniques have adapted. And I think, fortunately, now this panel can be run from a simple blood test without the need for complicated procedures such as cell separation using the 17-gene qPCR classifier. And in revalidation cohorts, its prognostic ability in IBD is outperforming some commercially available biopsies that are already in use in oncology, which is, of course, really exciting that this is something that's potentially quite close to being something that we can use in clinical practice. Of course, we then have to ask, even if we have the biomarker, does it actually translate to better clinical outcomes in our patients when we use it? And I think that's when the profile study comes in. And this study, I think, is coming close to finishing recruitment, has recruited newly diagnosed Crohn's patients and used this biomarker to separate patients based on the biomarker likely to flare and those who are likely to run a less severe disease course. And then within these groups, randomised to either step down or top up treatment with view to answering the question whether knowing whether the patients are likely to fit one bracket is actually helping them to to remain in remission and actually has sort of clinically meaningful outcomes for the patients. But Marco, I am a fraud telling you about CD8 T cell transcriptomics when I know that you've done a significant amount of research on this area yourself. When you looked at this in children, what were your findings about CD8 T-cell transcriptomics in kids? And can we be expected to see a profile kids anytime soon?
That is true. Only a few years ago, I undertook an MD project that was about testing the CD8 T-cell gene expression signature and the T-cell exhaustion signature in a cohort of around 130 children between the age of 4 and 17 years. They were recruited prospectively, and we also investigated CD8 T-cell DNA methylation profiles in this cohort. Our findings, however, only showed correlation of these profiles with the patient's age, but not with disease outcomes. So our results in children did not support the use of these molecular profiles as prognostic biomarkers for the pediatric age. And, you know, upon reflection on this data, it suggests intrinsic differences between children and adults, and age-related differences in gene expression profiles are likely. And we know from previous studies that children tend to develop a severe disease phenotype more often and earlier, of course, than adult patients. So explainable, and a common theme throughout our findings is that IBD in the pediatric population is less heterogeneous than that in the adult population, so the majority of pediatric patients appear to fall into the moderate or severe group.
So kids are more likely to be flarers, and we should probably be considering quite aggressive treatment from the outset in a lot of our young cohort.
Exactly, yeah, correct.
Okay, so there's obviously some quite big steps between interesting observations and a clinically useful biomarker. Could you just talk me through some of the challenges in developing a biomarker?
I mean, there are and there have been huge challenges in this research field. However, we are now more and more aware of these challenges based on previous studies and experiences. So hopefully we can channel research resources wisely as we continue to make progress in this area. So we know that we need large cohorts to make the studies strong and appropriate. We need prospective data. We need complete information on disease course and outcomes. At the moment, definitely in pediatrics, we lack of a widely accepted and or validated disease outcome score. So what really defines a disease course as mild or severe? Which parameter or set of parameters can really tell us if a patient overall is mild or severe in their disease course? We know we need long follow-up, and we, of course, have seen the importance of validating findings in independent cohorts. That makes studies, longer, requiring more funds and more investment. So another challenge is definitely the difficulty in dealing with phenotypic heterogeneity in IBD. So patients can be very different, and there's lots of variability. So is it really, realistic to think that one biomarker, one parameter will really predict their disease course? I think, what is mostly going to help us in this quest for a biomarker in the near future is probably the system medicine approach that consists of analyzing diseases in a more holistic manner, where you integrate systems biology platforms along with clinical parameters for the purpose of understanding disease origin, progression, exacerbation, and remission. So, of course, this approach involves interaction between clinical practice and computational, statistical, and mathematical multi-scale analysis and modeling of pathogenetic mechanisms.